Well, good morning and greetings from Holland, Michigan, Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's a great honor and privilege to be with you all this morning to worship our triune God together. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at the first four verses in chapter 1 and the first four verses in chapter 2. So if you find your place in a copy of God's Word, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Let us pay careful attention to these words, for they are the very words of our Lord. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired Word of God. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help Your minister here this morning. And as Your word was just read, we pray, O Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would enjoin Himself now to the preaching of the word. We pray, O Lord, that Christ Jesus would be exalted, that He would be magnified among us this morning. We ask all this now in the name of Christ Jesus and with the help and strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated. Well, my wife and I, about a month ago, we celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary, 9 years of being married together. When we were dating, I was active duty here in Ludington, Michigan, in the Coast Guard, and she was in San Diego, and that's when we began our dating relationship, and we started off communicating with each other by text messaging. And then we began to talk to each other on the phone. But then we took our relationship to the next level, and we started to Skype each other. Now, I know I'm somewhat dating myself, because most of us, we have these really nifty things called the iPhone, and we have FaceTime, and so we don't even have to Skype each other. But for my wife and I, Skype was amazing. It was that next level kind of thing where we could see each other. And at that point in our relationship, we were engaged. And so Skype really did serve for a purpose. It was, it was sufficient for us for a time. It was sufficient that, and it would give us something to hope for, something to long for, that day where we would have each other in marriage. Now, as I said, we celebrated 9 years of marriage together not too long ago. What if I were to tell you that on a Friday night, when my wife and I decided to celebrate it with each other, we sat on our couch, and I on one end and her on the other end broke out our laptops and began Skyping each other. Yeah, quite a reaction. Hopefully you sat there and you might say, well, why on earth would you do that? That is foolish and silly, and why would you go back to something that was always intended to point you forward to the real thing, marriage? And if that was, of course, your reaction, then that is true. It would be foolish and silly for my wife and I to go and do something like that when we have each other. And likewise, the book of Hebrews, what some have actually believed is a sermon, exhorts Christians in a similar way to contemplate Christ. To contemplate Christ. There was a great temptation for early Christians to go back to Judaism, a system that was always there to point them forward to Christ, to behold and long their Messiah who came in the flesh and who has raised from the dead and who is ascended at the right hand of God. There are many ways in which we are tempted to do this. We are tempted to do this by going back to a life of sin. That's one way that we are tempted to do that. Hostility to the faith. Hostility can breed all kinds of temptations. And so we need the same message that the author of the Hebrews gave the early Christians 2,000 years ago. We need that as well. And ultimately, the author of the book of Hebrews has a very simple message for us. Christ is better. Christ is better. Christ is more sufficient than anything else out there. He is better. And so we need that message today. If you might think of the various ways in which our own faith is tempted periodically, especially right now, as our own nation and our culture moves more and more away from Christ, is more hostile to the Christian faith, we really do need to know. We really need to heed this message that Jesus is better. Christ is better. But before we can say that Christ is better, we need to know who Christ is. We need to know who this Christ is through God's Word. We just heard not too long ago through the mouths of babes that we learn about Christ through the Bible. And that is exactly where we want to go this morning, to learn about who Christ is. And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I have 2 points for us to consider. And that is knowing Christ, and why that matters. We must know who Christ is, and we must know who Christ is because that matters for us. It has huge practical ramification for our lives. So let's turn to our first point this morning, knowing Christ. Under this heading, knowing Christ, I have 7 points for us, and we will look at those together. Our first point is that Christ is the content of revelation. Christ is the content of revelation. The author of the book of Hebrews opens by saying, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Our God speaks. Our God is a God who speaks to us. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, He did so by the prophets, but in these last days, He has done so through Christ Jesus. And so God speaks through Christ. God speaks through Christ, and God speaks about Christ. Christ is the agent of receiving revelation. One of these One of the ways we see this is in the book of Revelation. If you want to turn there real quick, Revelation chapter 1. John opens the book of Revelation by saying, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place." The phrase there, "the revelation of Jesus Christ," can be understood in two ways. It can be understood as the revelation about Jesus Christ, or the revelation from Jesus Christ. And both of those are true. Both of those are equally true. One is saying that it is a revelation that comes from Jesus, because Jesus is the very source which we receive revelation. And the other is saying that the actual content of revelation is all about Jesus Christ. And so from Genesis to Revelation, likewise, all of revelation comes through Christ. It is mediated to us through Christ, and yet all of it also is about Christ. Now, I think this is a helpful apologetic tool for us. I'm an associate minister, and one of my primary duties and responsibilities is with respect to our young, our youth within our church. And I oftentimes hear in kind of an objection to the Christian faith, something to the effect of, "Jesus never spoke about homosexuality." I hear that a lot. And even if that was not true, even if Jesus never spoke about homosexuality, which I would suggest is not true, I believe Jesus actually does speak about any kind of sexual deviancy when he affirms clearly the teaching of Genesis chapter 1 and the context of marriage being between one man and one woman. But even if he never did say anything about homosexuality, the very fact that Christ is the content of revelation helps us, because Christ, being the second person of the Trinity, God Himself, we know that all of revelation comes from Him, including Genesis chapters 1 through 3. That means that Christ was the one who was there from the beginning, and marriage itself comes from Christ, the second person of the Trinity. So it is vital that we understand that Christ is the content of revelation. Again, God speaks through Christ, and God speaks about Christ. Number two, Christ is in charge of all things. Christ is in charge of all things. Christ is the eternal Son. He is the eternal Word of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is appointed the heir of all things. He is appointed the heir of all things. And Christ has been given all authority as the Son. So Christ has all authority because He is the eternal Word of the Father, but He has been given all authority on heaven and on earth as the God-man, the one who came in the flesh, the one who took a true human nature, united humanity to Himself, one person, two natures, forever, one person, two natures. This is our Lord and Savior. This is the one to whom the Father has given all authority in heaven and in earth. And we see this in Matthew 28. And we see the very fact of the great commission that Christ gives to His people is foundational to who Christ is. Christ receives all authority over heaven and earth. And on the basis of this authority, He issues the command to go forward to disciple all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is in charge of all things. Thirdly, Christ is the creator of the world. Christ is the creator of the world. Christ, by virtue of his divinity, that is to say, he is the second person of the Trinity, and because he is the second person of the Trinity, he is the creator of all things. He is the one who has created all things. If you want to turn to Colossians, we see this clearly in verse 15 of chapter 1 and following. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the great supremacy of Christ passage from the Apostle Paul, echoing similarly here the author of the book of Hebrews. So Christ is the creator of the world. But Christ is also the creator of the new creation. He is the head of the new creation. He has been appointed the heir of all things through whom he has created the world. He gives new creation life to all those who belong to him by faith. That's all of us in here who have received Christ in faith. We have been given new creation life through Christ, who is the creator of new creation. Number four, Christ communicates the Father to us. Christ communicates the Father to us. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. You cannot know who God is unless you know the Son. That is the Gospel of John. Christ came in the flesh so that we would know the Father. Christ came in the flesh so that we could be in a reconciled relationship with the Father. And you cannot know who God the Father is apart from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ reveals the Father to us, and we know God through the Son. John chapter 17, in Christ's high priestly prayer, Christ says this concerning salvation. If you want to turn there, John chapter 17, verse 3, he says this concerning eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is to know God the Father, but it is to know God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In a world where the message is that you can come to salvation in various ways, through various ways of salvation, Scripture knows of only one way. Of only one way to be reconciled, of only one way to be forgiven, of only one way to receive eternal life, and that is through Christ, the one who came in the flesh, the one who died for sinners, the one who was raised for our justification, the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty as prophet, priest, and king. The Lord Jesus. Christ communicates the Father to us. Number five, Christ continues to hold all things together. Christ continues to hold all things together. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Christ sustains all things. Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Christ, by virtue of the authority the Father has given to him, holds and upholds the very universe. Children, we hear the very words. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. That is true. The Lord Jesus indeed has the whole world in his hands. Well, we are finding ourselves in a time where we desperately need to be reminded of that truth. Sicknesses, COVID, the Delta variant, whatever kind of sickness will come after that. Beloved, hear these very truths. That Christ Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. He holds your very life, body and soul in his hands. He is your king. He is your master. Put all your faith and trust in him, the one who upholds all things. Christ preserves all things, and Christ carries us to our destined end. Turn with me again to John chapter 17. Again, our high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus. I love these words of our Lord as he confesses them before his Father. Verse 24, our Lord says this. He says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Beloved, I want you to hear that. The Lord Jesus has prayed for each and every one of you. Every single one of you who belong to him in faith, he prayed for you that one day you would be with him. That one day you would behold the very glory that he possesses. So beloved, know that he carries you to your destined end and purpose, which is to be before his Father in heaven one day on his timetable. That could come tomorrow. It could come today. It could come 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now. But know that it is the Lord Jesus who controls that very outcome. So again, place your trust in him, the one who has all authority over your body and soul. Number 6, Christ is crowned with all glory and might. Christ is crowned with all glory and might. Christ is our high priest. Christ is our high priest, and he has made atonement for our sins, and he intercedes for us even now in the heavenly places. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down the majesty of high. Don't let those words, "he sat down," go by you without jarring you a bit. If you know your Old Testament, you know that there were many high priests who would come that would make sacrifices to God year in and year out. And not one of them dared to sit at the right hand of God. Not one of them would dare to sit as they would make a sacrifice to God, save one. The only sufficient sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. And now he sit. This language of sitting is one of kingship and authority. Christ is king over all. Over all authorities, earthly and heavenly. He rules over everything. And he does so for your sake, beloved. He does so for your sake as our great and glorious King and High Priest. And Christ is at God's right hand, where he rules and reigns over the world. Again, in a time in our own cultural mess in which we find ourselves, what glorious news it is to be reminded that Christ Jesus is King and that he is ruling over all. And that it doesn't matter who the president of the United States of America is. Christ Jesus is King. Christ Jesus is to receive all adoration and praise and glory and worthiness because of who he is and what he has accomplished. And then lastly, under this heading of knowing who Christ is the commander of the heavenly host. Christ is the commander of the heavenly host. Christ has superiority over the angels. Christ is the one who is more excellent, more superior to the angels, as he has a name that is more excellent than theirs. You see, Christ Jesus is greater than all of the angels. In fact, the rest of this chapter goes on to say that it is the angels who worship this glorious King, this glorious God-man. He is the one who receives full adoration and glorious praise from his angels. Christ is the commander of the heavenly host. Well, we just heard from the writer of the book of Hebrews in four short, glorious passages of Scripture of why it is of who Christ is. But why do we need to know about Christ? And more specifically and explicitly, why do we need to know these things about Christ? And so let's turn to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Three points for us to consider. We must pay careful attention. The writer in verse chapter 2 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. There are two words here that the writer of the book of Hebrews uses, and both of these terms are nautical terms. And they are terms that are used for really paying attention for when a ship comes into port. For those who may have been in the military or who have spent some time out on the open waters or whatever it may be, you know that there are aids to navigation out there, and those aids aid you in being able to know where you are on the waterways, and specifically when you get closer to shore, they help you navigate going into shore so that you are not going to run aground or anything like that. And so the writer employs these terms. We must pay attention and we must drift away from it. I'm at the point in my parenting where my children, they love Legos. I've got my two older boys, they love Legos. They love to put Legos together. And it's a lot of fun to watch them put them together. But as some parents may be able to give a heartily amen, sometimes they don't follow the directions all the way through. And oftentimes, it's not until way on in the directions that you realize that they skipped a very crucial part. And so usually it's dad or mom that has to go back and figure out where exactly they've missed the directions. And you have to go back and you have to read, and it's always the littlest, tiniest thing that, you know, you can't just, you know, keep going and just say, that's okay, we won't need that piece. No, you need every single piece in order to make it work. And that's precisely the point here that the writer of the book of Hebrews is giving us. We need to know who Christ is. We need to know who he is through God's word so that we don't drift away. We don't drift away. I spent 6 years in active duty military in the Coast Guard and about 8 years in the reserves. And we spent a lot of our time training on our boats, doing a lot of drills so that when an emergency happens, we are able to handle it without having to be... So that we're able to handle any kind of emergency that comes our way. So we spend a lot of time training. And every single one of our drills, we always have one thing that we have to do before we do anything else. We have to be ready to rig the anchor. We have to be ready to rig the anchor. And that's because you can't combat an emergency on the ship if you're all over the place. If there's no mooring, if there's nothing that is holding you so that you can be still and able to handle the pressures that are coming from within and from without. Beloved, we need to know Christ so that when the pressures of life come, and they do come, many of us are probably experiencing many of those pressures right now in various ways. We need to know Christ so that we are able to be moored, so that we are able not to go to and fro, being tempted in every various ways. And so we need to know who Christ is. So we must pay attention, we must not drift away. And then lastly, God's spoken word is binding. God's spoken word is binding. When God speaks, we are held accountable to it. We are held accountable to God's word. God has spoken in various ways, in many times, and in many places. He first spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And in doing so, we are held accountable to the very revealed word that he has given to us. And it is here that we find the first admonishment of the book in the book of Hebrews. The writer says, since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation? How shall we escape? God's word is true. God's word is life-giving. God's word gives us assurance. But it is also, we are held accountable to it. The Lord Jesus bears witness to God's word. It was first declared by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The Lord Jesus bears witness to it. The apostles bear witness to it. And God himself bears witness to his word. Well, beloved, as I opened by saying that my wife and I celebrated our 9 years of marriage, and just as I said it would have been foolish for my wife and I to continue to Skype each other when Skype served a purpose and time and place, so too it would be foolish if we would forsake Christ and abandon him by turning our back on him. In dark cultural days ahead, let us keep our focus on Christ. Let us contemplate him in the way in which he has revealed himself to us from Genesis to Revelation. Let us keep our focus on our great prophet, priest, and king. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for these words that you had given to us, these words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned by your holy writer. We thank you, Lord, that they give us life, for in them Christ Jesus is revealed to us. Father, in a time in our own cultural context where we find ourselves more and more at odds with our culture and society, I pray that these words of our Lord, these words that exalt him so magnificently, would be the words that we need to remind us of who he is. Remind us of his goodness to us. Remind us of the salvation that he has purchased by his blood for us. And then, Lord, I pray that as we are reminded of these words, that we might heed them, that we would not fall away from them, but that we would seek after him every day, putting to death our sins and living unto righteousness for his sake. Help us, Lord, give us the strength and power to do so through the power and convicting work of the Holy Spirit. We ask all this now in Christ's name and with the help and strength of your Holy Spirit. Amen.